Hello there. I'm Luke, one of the pastors around here in the Eastlake Church Network. So good to see everybody. Armando, thank you. We're going to be talking about regrets today. Over the last couple weeks, we've been speaking about regrets, and many of us have made a decision to start a process or a journey that we're going to begin identifying and releasing our regrets. Today, it's my hope and my prayer that we can have God redeem our regrets. I'm going to talk about what that means in just a moment. But the kind of regrets we've been talking about are not the kind of regrets where you go and have a good laugh with your friends over. They're not the kind of regrets you talk about when you're reminiscing, saying, remember that time when I was trying to impress my group of friends and I looked up and walked straight into a pole? Not those kind of regrets. They're not the kind of regrets when you accidentally spilled your drink on your date. Not those kind of regrets either. They're definitely not the kind of regrets you have when you walk into a public restroom only to look up and ask yourself, where are all the urinals at? Right? It's not those kind of regrets that we've been talking about. The kind of regrets that we've been talking about are the kind of regrets that change the way we see people. They're the kind of regrets that change the way we look at life, and even sometimes they change the way we view God. The kind of regrets that create deep pain within us. Those are the kind of regrets we're talking about. The kind that we've been carrying around for a week or a year, or what can even feel like a lifetime of regret. If you're here today with any kind of regret, I want you to know that today's your day. You came on the right day. You came here to this place on the right day. Because we're going to talk about God redeeming your regrets. And at the end, as Armando mentioned, we have an opportunity to take a step of faith through water baptism if you feel like that's right for you. Now, there's three types of regrets that we've been talking about. The first kind of regret is a regret of action. Why did I do that thing? And all of us here, we have those regrets, right? Why did I do that thing? It's a regret of action. The second kind of regret that we have is a regret of inaction. Why didn't I do that thing? Why didn't I ask her out on a date? She's the one that got away. Why didn't I do that thing? And the third kind of regret is the regret of reaction, which says, why did you do that thing to me? We all have these regrets. We all have these three different kinds of regrets in our life. We've also been talking about three things we can do, well, two things so far, a third today, that we can do to get past these regrets. We learned that first we have to recognize our regrets and identify them. We have to think to ourselves, what are the regrets of my past and my present? Identify them, even call them out by name. Jenny, Teresa, Rebecca, no, whatever or whoever they are. We've got to really identify our regrets and be real with yourself about them. What are they? Who are they? Secondly, we've got to release our regrets. We've got to embrace that God can and will forgive me for the regrets, for the sin and regrets of my past. Things that I've done, things that have been done to me, things that I didn't do. And today, we're going to learn it's possible to redeem your regrets. All those regrets, could it be possible that God would take them and actually turn them around and use them to do something good inside of you? I'm not saying he's going to make it like they never happened. I'm saying God could take that pain and take those regrets and change it so that something good happens inside of you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you're following along with the app or the outline, you can write this down. Here's the big idea for today. God wants to take your story of regret and turn it into a story of redemption. Whatever you've been carrying, he can change it in a way that you've never imagined. If you are willing today to give your regrets to God, here's what he can do. He can take your mess and turn it into a message. He could take any test you're going through and turn it into your testimony. And he could take your misery and turn it into a ministry so that you can help others with the pain that you've experienced. Let me read a scripture. This is from the book of Romans. It's in the New Testament. And in chapter 8, it says this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. In all things, the good, the mediocre, the bad. We often think God could never use the bad. God can use the bad, and he wants to use the bad. He wants to work all things in your life to do some good in you that would go along with what he's calling you to do, that would go along with his plan and his purpose for your life. It's not like, oh, things just become good. No, he wants to use those things for his plan to help other people. All things can be changed so that something good comes out of him. And you might be sitting here and say, Luke, thanks for saying that, but you don't know the kind of pain I have. And I don't feel like something good could come out of that. And if that's you, I want you to know, I think that's a reasonable response to have. I think that's an okay response to have. And what I want to ask is, can we together today just make an agreement to say, okay, even though it doesn't feel this way, I'm willing to take a step in faith today and believe that God can do something with my pain. And I think if we're willing to do that, it'll open up some doors that will help us to get there. The word redeem or redemption means to buy back. And historically, this word was used when someone would buy a slave out of slavery. It's the price that someone would pay for the freedom of a slave. If I were going to buy a slave's freedom, I would be redeeming them. That's the word Jesus chose when he talks about us and our sin and what he has done for us. We were slaves and even still are in many ways. And Jesus is our redeemer. He's buying us out of that sin slavery. The Bible, the scriptures, they tell a story from start to end. They tell a story of Jesus, New Testament, Old Testament as well, tells a story of Jesus who came into this world, God in the flesh, to redeem all of humanity, to pay for the sins of the world. It was this great exchange that took place. It was the blood of Jesus in payment for our sin, redemption. And the whole of Scripture tells that story. Here's the first truth about redemption. Write this down if you're following along. Redemption's something God wants to do. He wants to do it. God wants to redeem you, your sin, your regrets, your whole life. He wants to. He's actively pursuing you. In this moment and for the whole of your life, God has been pursuing you. Some of us are waking up to that reality. Some of us are holding it at arm's length. Some of us are running from it. But God is pursuing you. And he always has, and he always will. I'm absolutely convinced that God wants to heal you so that you can heal others. Did you know? The pain in your life often reveals God's purpose for your life. Think about that. The pain in your life often reveals God's purpose for what he wants to do with you. It's our deepest pain and regret that often becomes our greatest ministry to help other people. Who in here could better help someone who's gone through bankruptcy than someone who can better help someone who's going through bankruptcy than one of us who's previously gone through bankruptcy and figured it out? Who could better help someone who's struggling with an addiction than one of us who's struggled with and beat an addiction? God using your pain and regret to help someone else. Who in here could help a new couple who has a child with special needs than one of us who's raised a child with special needs? Who in here could better help someone who's lost a child than one of us who's lost a child? No one can. It's you. It's you and it's me. It's God taking your deepest regret and pain and using it for your greatest triumph and helping other people. The very thing you hate the most in this world is what God wants to use for good in your life. He wants to redeem your regrets. He wants to buy them back and use them for good. Here's what Isaiah 44 says. I've swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. This is Isaiah, the prophet, speaking on behalf of God. He's saying, you have sin. God's speaking. He's still saying it today. You have sin, but I'm washing it away. It's gone. I'm right here. Return to me. You feel like your sin's separating yourself from me. And it is, but I want you to know I'm right here. And I'm ready to take you back. Return to me. And that's true for you today, no matter what you've done or how far you've gone. It's still true today for all. He doesn't hold it against you. That doesn't mean there's not real consequences for our sin. There are. We saw this in King David's life, who we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks. We saw that he was at his house or his castle, and he looked out and he saw a woman taking a bath. He said, wow, I like her. So he called her over and he slept with her. And he got her pregnant. She was married. So he called her husband out from the front lines of battle, thinking that he would sleep with her. But he didn't. He said, no, my men are out there suffering. I'm not going to be with my wife. And so David says, shoot, my cover-up's blown on this one. So what he did is he wrote a letter to his generals and told them to let Uriah be murdered on the battlefield. Go into battle and then don't protect him. So here's what King David did. He lusted. He committed adultery. He tried to cover it all up. And then he plotted out a murder. Think there were any consequences for that? Big time. Big time consequences for those things. And what happened was a prophet, Nathan, came to him. He thought everything was fine because he wasn't experiencing consequences until the prophet Nathan came to him, excuse me, and called him out on his sin. And David broke and had massive regret and massive consequences hit him. And then what he did is he turned to God and said, God, I confess my sin to you. I'm wrong. Forgive me. Heal me. And God called David a man after his own heart. If God could call David a man after his own heart, he can call you and I people after his own heart as well. No matter what we've done, as long as we're willing to return to Jesus, our forgiver. This whole world, this thing we're experiencing, this life, it's not about being good. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. There are no good people. Only forgiven. And God is always willing to forgive. What thing in your life is generating some regrets that are going to hit you down the road? And maybe today you grab a hold of those and you say, I'm giving them to Jesus today. I'm surrendering. I'm confessing. I'm going to receive healing so that I don't have to experience those consequences of regret later down the road in my life. I hope you'll think about what those are specifically and give them to the Lord. God wants to take your worst moments and use them for good, and he can. Here's the second point. I'm going to invite Pastor Armando to come walk us through the next couple of points. Redemption takes many forms.
So redemption takes many forms. So the way that God wants to redeem you is unique to you. Just like your regrets and your pain is unique to you, the way that God wants to redeem you is unique to you. But there's some forms that we could look at that work like models that God uses through redeem you. So the first one is Redemption can look like finding your way back to God. So maybe you're here today and you never really thought about this God thing. You don't even believe he exists. You just kind of, maybe something happened in your life that kind of made you open your arm, like your eyes, and you're like, maybe God does exist. And you should kind of explore this thing. And that's where you find yourself. And you're beginning to now find out and hear that God is actually waiting for you, that he wants to redeem you, that he welcomes you with open arms. Or maybe, you know, in trying to fulfill the longings that we have of love, meaning, purpose, and value, you sold yourself for nothing. You settled for less. When you were looking for love, you settled for sex. When you were in a relationship, you gave up because it was tough. Or maybe you're trying to seek success instead of seeking your family. So you're losing your family. You sold yourself for nothing. And you find yourself like this verse in Isaiah 52:3. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing. You were sold for nothing. But here's the crazy thing. Here's how the verse continues. And without money, you will be redeemed. See, the truth of number one, that God wants to redeem you, comes full force here. Without money, you will be redeemed. Your redemption wasn't cheap and it wasn't free. It came at the cost of Jesus' life. Romans 8:32 says that God didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us. So God gave Jesus up for us so that we could inherit everything that Jesus inherited. See, this is where Christianity is wild. We're like, I am amazed at what I believe. Because Jesus gave himself up for us so that we may find our way back to God and experience the same kind of love that he experiences with God. Not a cheaper, down, lower version of that love. The same kind of love that Jesus experiences. That's what God gives us when you put your faith in God. So redemption can look like finding your way back to God. Finding out how much he loves you. Finding out that he has a plan and purpose for you. Finding out that he wants to redeem you. And for you to come to know him. And if this is you today, if you find yourself going, you know what, I was at that place. I want to ask you to maybe open your heart. And to welcome God in. To let him buy back your regrets. To let him restore you. And here's another way that redemption can look like. Redemption can look like spiritual growth. And right now I want to speak to those who have placed their faith in Jesus, but you find yourself in pain, in regret, in failure, maybe in some kind of sickness, and you're wondering, where is God in my difficulty? So the reality of the Christian life is that where we will grow the most is in the places that we don't like the most. That sometimes the places we have come to fear the most are the places that when we turn them over to God and say, please help me walk through them, lead us to a deeper and richer knowledge of him and of his faithfulness. And look at this next verse in Romans. We also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. This verse is so mind-boggling to me. We glory in our sufferings. Really? Dude, I want to rejoice in the good. I want to celebrate the happy moments. I don't want to glory in my suffering. But that's what Paul, who wrote this, says. He says that we glory in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And there is some truth to the fact that those that we love the most are those that we have walked our pain and suffering with. The ones that we could look at and say, you know what I've been through. You've been there when I've been down. And that's exactly what God wants to do with you. He wants to walk you through your pain and your suffering. And that's the reason I don't want to stop at that period of hope. That's the reason I want to go to the next verse in that section. And this is not in your outline. It's on screen. Because here's what hope produces. What hope leads to. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, as Christians, we don't do this alone. We glory in our suffering because it's producing perseverance and then character, which is leading us to a hope that means that God will never put us to shame. And this is how we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And there's one more way we know. As we reflect on the cross, we can at least know that God cares about our suffering. Because he himself bore our sin. He bore our sorrow. He bore our regret. Jesus is acquainted with what we experience. So you may not know why you're going through what you're going through. But when you look at the cross, at least you know that God cares and that he's done something about it. So if you're here today and you find yourself in that place where you're thinking God is distant, you're in pain, you're in regret, you're sick, I want to ask you to lean into him and to trust him. He will not put you to shame. He won't forsake you, and he won't leave you. And out of your suffering, you will come out with a deeper, richer knowledge of his love and his faithfulness. There's another way that redemption can also look like. Redemption can look like rescheduling. And this one ain't fun. I'm just going to tell you that right off the bat. This one ain't fun. I mean, of course, no regret is fun, right? But this one ain't fun. Look at the next verse up on the screen or in your outline or on the app. Psalm 27. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Anyone here likes to wait? Come on, raise your hands if you like to wait. Of course not. No one likes to wait. That's the reason that we have smartphones, shortcuts, fast food, express lanes, because no one likes to wait. But as I reflected on this verse, I started going, man, this actually says something that's actually pretty incredible. Wait for the Lord. And then the middle line. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. I know that sometimes waiting for something can feel like the worst thing in the world. But for us Christians, a great truth to learn is to learn to trust God's timing rather than my own. Is to learn to trust that he has a plan and a purpose. Is to learn to trust that he knows best. So maybe you set out to do something that you've always wanted to do, and you failed. Could it be that that was God's plan for your life? And I know we don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. But could it be that that failure was preparation for what God has prepared for you? And when you turn it over to God and you said, here I am, I thought this was supposed to be, God could turn that and make it something better. That this has all been preparation for what's to come. And that unless you dealt and went through your regrets, you wouldn't be ready for what's to come. You wouldn't be able to make the right choices. And maybe that thing that you failed now, God is preparing to reschedule. So now that you're ready to do what he's called you to do. So redemption could look like rescheduling. That is learning to trust God's timing rather than my own time. And similarly, redemption can look like redirection. This is the next point. And this is different than rescheduling in that God can redeem you by redirecting you towards what he has prepared you for. So some of us had plans about what we were going to do and be when we grow up, right? That's so like, when I grow up, I'm going up. And then you wonder, where's that line that I grew up? And I'm 31. When did I make that choice? You still try to figure that out, right? But I know I had plans for my life. I thought I was going to be a singer-songwriter. Like, without exaggeration, I know it sounds funny, like, poo-hoo-hoo, but I'm serious. Like, without exaggerating to you, I've probably written close to 1,000 songs. Like, and now I'm beginning to see that all of that was part of God's plan for what he's been redirecting my life towards. So it wasn't wasted. It was preparation. And my redirection has been painful. It's not like, oh, that didn't hurt. No, it has been painful. But what I've begun to see is that what is emerging out of those ashes is what God intended, and I never could have seen. So God might need to redirect your life right now so that out of the ashes of what was a crown, a diamond, and diamonds are forged under pressure, something good can come out. A seed must die before it gives life. And the last way that redemption can look like is an opportunity. And I know that this might seem a little crazy, but it could. I know that right now, regret doesn't feel like an opportunity. But as God redeems our regret, we can eventually see our pain as an opportunity to help others, as Pastor Luke mentioned. To help them find a place where there's hope. To find God and emerge out of their regret and their pain with hope, with life. And this is something that we actually do often. If you were to think about your life, you could think of an event that happened to you that you actually give advice from. You say, oh, I remember when da-da-da-da-da, and I did da-da-da-da, so you therefore choose da-da-da, and such and so whatever. You get the point. If you think back, you'll know. But here's the thing, like, redemption can only look at an opportunity if you've seen what Jesus did for us. So in Luke 4, Jesus quotes part of the prophet Isaiah, what he prophesied about what Jesus was coming to do. And this is what Isaiah prophesied. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. When we see what Jesus came to do, to redeem us, to bring us back to God, to buy back our pain and regrets, and we respond by turning to him, he will give us beauty from ashes. But it's important that we learn truth number 3. And I'm going to invite Pastor Luke to close us out, which is this, that redemption requires us to take the long view.
And the long view is about timing. And here's the truth. God's timing is not your timing. And it's not my timing. It's God's timing. And I don't know how to explain God's timing. I do know that as we go through that suffering and that process, he changes us. And oftentimes, that's his purpose, to change us. Not to make us feel better instantly, but to change us. And because of that, it's God's timing. It's not ours. If you have regrets today, I know that God wants to redeem your regrets. I know he wants you to find your way back to God if you feel lost in that. I know he wants you to grow spiritually so that you can help others. I know he wants you to reschedule and redirect the purpose of your life to serve him. I know that he wants to use everything in your life as an opportunity to give back. And that takes time. It's a process. It's not about perfection. It's about a process. It's about taking the long view of this spiritual journey that we're on with God. In a moment, we're going to share one more song with you. So I want to ask the band to come up. And as they do, I want to talk about the words of the song we're going to sing. These words describe a simple transaction of buying back our sin and our sorrow and our deepest regret. Here's what they say. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's the truth. There's nothing in this world that could buy us back and make us whole except for what Jesus already did for you and for me. And now we can receive it or we can reject it. It's up to us. It's our call. If you're here and you say, yeah, I want that, there's two things I want you to know. One is if you simply go to God and say, God, I want that. I believe, Jesus, you were who you claimed to be, the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh, that offered a sacrifice to to take away my sin, your blood in exchange for my sin. I want you to know, he never says no. He always says, yes, I forgive you. Yes, I'll heal you. Yes, I'll give you the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. It's a yes. And secondly, if that's you and you've never been baptized in water, or maybe you were baptized as a child, I encourage you to do it again. Don't wait another day or week or year. Stand right in the middle of God's plan for your life. You could do that today. We have all the shorts and towels and everything you need. If you're in this room, I invite you. You're in. There's no one here who would be excluded from this. So if you're wondering, everyone's invited to take a step of baptism. We have about 8 or 10 people who have already signed up for that, who are going to do that. So as soon as service ends today, can all of us head right over here on the patio and celebrate the people who are getting baptized? It's just going to take a couple of minutes. There'll be plenty of time for you to watch the Super Bowl. But for some people, this is their spiritual Super Bowl today. Baptism is this moment where we say, world, I'm following Jesus. My sins are gone. I'm being buried. My old life's dead. And I'm rising up out of the water to new life. That's a spiritual Super Bowl for many of us today. And if you're here and you're on the fence or weren't planning on doing it, just do it. It's going to be weird. Yeah. You're going to get wet. Your hair going to get messed up. Yeah. But it'll be a moment in your life you will never forget and will cherish forever. Here's my question. Will you let God do his good work in you and through you? Will you stand with me? I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to worship Jesus through this last song. God, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to buy us back from sin, to set us free. And Jesus, you do that over and over and over again in our lives, as we will never reach perfection until we're with you. Thank you that you constantly redeem us and constantly buy us back. And if you're here and you're willing, just tell him, say, God, I want you to buy me back. I want you to redeem me. I want you to set me free. I want to follow you, Jesus. Thank you for those getting baptized today, Lord. I pray you bless them. Holy Spirit, I pray that you are with us and show us the way through this life. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.